Welcome to Church Drunk, a spirited conversation about faith, reason, and libations. I'm Dizzy, here to let you know that there's a couple things to be aware of before we begin. Number one, this is a grown-up show. We use grown-up language that involves swearing, sometimes tiptoeing up to the blasphemous point of heresy. And, you know, we're Catholic. You don't have to be. If you're cool with all that, you should stick around. If you're not, we understand. Just don't write to us. Anyway, my name is Dizzy. I'm joined by my co-host, Guess. Woo! Guess, what are you drinking?
Well, first of all, welcome to season two.
Hey, yeah, if clinkies. You could call what we do seasons,
yeah.
Here we are.
Here is season two. I'm drinking a Widow's Kiss.
Oh.
It's got a little bit of Benedictine, a little bit of green chartreuse,
yes.
Dash of bitters. There's a bit of apple brandy in there, some Calvados.
Quite so, fancy.
Yeah, it is. It's got a fancy glass and it's got a fancy name, and I feel fancy because season two's starting. I'm fancy.
Hey, it's something to celebrate, and why not with cocktails?
And what are you drinking?
Well, continuing some of that one ingredient of your theme, mm-hmm. I have a chartreuse-based cocktail. It's actually equal parts chartreuse, lime juice, gin, and maraschino liqueur, but I didn't have that, and so I put in a little of
amaretto,
just this tiniest splash of amaretto,
yeah,
to balance out. But you probably could skip that, and I would have.
So, two questions.
Mm-hmm.
What is chartreuse,
yeah,
and why are we drinking it?
We're highlighting chartreuse today because it's green, and it's ordinary time, and there's nothing the church and we as people of the church love more than a liturgically colored celebrations. So yeah, here's our, you know, green drinks. And I did not know this before purchasing chartreuse, which seems overpriced until you learn that it is a recipe made in 1605, the formula that involves 130 alpine herbs. And even today, the actual formula for it is guarded by three Carthusian monks,
yeah,
in France. Like, this is straight up holy chartreuse. It's one, yeah, of the few things as a color named after it.
I envision these guys as like the old knight in Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade, where it's like they're searching for the Holy Grail and he's been sitting there since the beginning of time. But instead of the Holy Grail, he's like this crusader who's guarding the recipe for chartreuse.
It's this little trinity of
and there's three little old monks that are like, you have chosen poorly.
They start to write it down and realize, you know, one of them's got the dementia, forgot his part. Anyway, yeah, it actually tastes very herby, but very good. It's actually a nice, pleasant flavor.
Yeah, it's tasty. It goes well with lots of other types of liquor in cocktails.
Yeah.
Because that's like...
Well, right. I mean, you're not going to spend...
Liquor.
A little bit on something called chartreuse and not just mix it with everything you have.
Right.
See, yeah, how it tastes.
It's like everything in the kitchen sink. But yes, it is ordinary time. And that, you know, season one for us on Church Drunk was all about getting through Lent.
Yes.
And then celebrating the end of Lent and Eastertide. And
yeah,
we did a little bonus with Pentecost and stuff like that. Now we're in ordinary time.
Yeah.
We went dormant there for a little,
yeah,
while.
Yeah, if you haven't, if you're just joining us, you could just start here. That's fine. But if you want to check us out, we were kind of Lenty. That was our start.
Yeah.
And that's a good place
to... It's kind of like a challenge to ourselves. And also,
yeah,
I would imagine a
that
challenge to many of the listeners to make it through Lent with us.
We're proud of all of you who are still,
yeah,
still with us. But yeah, if you wanted to listen back, you definitely could. But fine to start here in ordinary time.
In ordinary time. So you get through Lent, you celebrate Easter, life is good, and then,
mm-hmm,
all of a sudden you're in ordinary time. And we're going to talk a little bit today about what that means and how we have celebrated that, even if,
yeah,
you're supposed
how,
to celebrate
and even
it.
Like, how do you keep that momentum of your spiritual life if you're trying to live liturgically?
Yeah.
Even though it's like summer and a nice time, it kind of feels dormant.
Right, right. Well, and we talked a little bit about, you know, how 40 days of Lent was so long. And
yep,
that's, you know, there's a reason for that. And then 50 days of feasting, right?
Right.
And so you have another very long season. And by the,
yes,
time you get to the end of that Eastertide season,
Pentecost, we were a little loopy ourselves on,
yeah,
Pentecost.
Well, and you kind of,
yeah,
need something to like light a fire under you.
Oh my gosh. Wow. First one of the day,
gonna
folks.
Have to find that rim shot
oh
little sound effect. But There it is.
Why do you need it? Yeah, you can make your own.
I'm like the dude from Police Academy.
Oh my gosh. Here we go. Yes.
But so you have this Pentecost.
Okay.
It gets you, you know, a little bit reinvigorated. And then it just kind of like drops you into ordinary time.
Yeah. And you're like, what is this? I mean, if you're on the academic calendar, like many young people and their families kind of are, it's like summer. You're like, whatever, peace out, church and life and school.
Exactly.
But no, actually, ordinary time is meant to be like the life of Christ. You know, like all those filler pieces that we don't know that much about except those 3 years. So what makes it good? Like, what breaks it up for you? What do you like?
Here's my deal with ordinary time, right? Like, you just did a great job of giving us, like, the, you know, catechism summary.
We like you to know that
ordinary time is all about.
We kind of know what we're supposed to be saying and then not say it. But because at least you know we know.
Ordinary time, you know, you hear ordinary time, you might think normal time. But it means, you know, like, marking the passage of time and all that kind of stuff. But realistically, it's like, okay, there's nothing going on, especially in this go round of ordinary time. Right?
And I
there's
feel like
the long stretch.
Yeah, this is the long stretch.
Easter to Advent.
And in our like lay defense, the clergy totally do this too. You know, everybody's a little more casual. This is when the month long vacations happen, and the parish is like, nah, like somebody will be there.
Your pastor comes back from like Palm Springs with stubble, and he's
You're lucky if your church has, you know, some like green decorations up. Pretty much, it's just like back to bare bones, time to clean.
Exactly, and so it's hard, I think, to avoid that on a personal spiritual level, right? To
We're be all like, doing okay, it. That's what
well,
I'm
now
saying.
I can just kind of like take my foot off the accelerator. Yeah. Like I've made it through Lent, through Easter, we've done Pentecost, happy birthday, church, and now nothing's gonna happen, right? So there's a few things that you know, kind of break up the monotony of it. But there's also, I think, a real sense of, like, maybe there's value in the struggle. And maybe there's not. You know, I think there's conflict there in terms of what slogging through ordinary time can mean.
Well, in that sense, I think I can agree that, like, it is mirroring Jesus' life. Like, sometimes you're just walking from Galilee down to Jerusalem, and who knows what's happening on those travel days. Like, this is the travel days of our year. But it is broken up by some feast days, which I think you know, they're so personal. It depends what you're into or who you're into, patron saints and all that. Yeah. But those are kind of the highlights.
Well, and that's one of the things that we're going to talk a little bit about in season two here is, you know, how do you kind of, like, what sustains you going through that ordinary time? And also, what are the sort of, like, localized celebrations, you know, like particular feast days that are important to communities or people, or, you know, there's like a popular sort of spirituality.
And those will be some of the things that we'll be talking about this upcoming, like, quote unquote season.
Right.
Will be those things, especially down in October and November. But here in the summer, a big one for us we'll be talking about on our next episode
will be
Ignatius of Loyola on July 31st. So if you have a feast day that breaks up your ordinary time, we'd love to hear about it. Anything from now or from Pentecost all the way down to the start of Advent.
Yeah.
Let us know. We'd like to highlight some of those.
I think that's going to be a big part of what's going to get us through to, you know, to Advent is talking about those little highlights along the way. There's been a lot that has happened just in life and in the church since our Pentecost episode.
Totally.
You know, and for me, that
the good,
like,
the bad, the ugly.
Going to church on most Sundays has been kind of like a little bit of a break from how crazy the rest of the world is, you know.
And
the church sometimes that can be really frustrating for me. You know, like I show up and it feels like the church is disconnected from a lot of what's going on around it, and it's like, as long as you show up and you hear the homily and you get your cracker and you put your money in the basket, like, you are punching your ticket to heaven. And that can frustrate the hell out of me when I feel like I want something more. But I've actually found that in the last couple of months, it's been like, yes, like, I just want to go in and sit down and unplug from, like, the 24-hour news cycle and just kind of chill out.
Yeah, well, I think that is one of, you know, the gifts of, I guess I'm going to be the catechism person this episode, but, like, of the ritual of the Mass is that those touchstones, you know, that bring you back to the center and give you those moments of peacefulness and sacredness outside of the madness in the world. And unfortunately, some of that madness is creeping in. We're seeing that in, like, church news on a global level.
Yeah.
And those will be some of the things we're talking about this season as well. Definitely not shying away from some of the big issues that plague us.
Yeah.
But getting to have that touchstone every week, it does keep us going.
Yeah. For better or worse, right? Like sometimes, yes. Sometimes I don't walk away feeling any better about where I'm at with, you know, life and church and everything.
Present in the struggle.
Yeah.
How about that?
But sometimes, you know, like it's just a quiet space for me to recharge my batteries. My question to you would be, do you think that, so ordinary time is something that I see as like countercultural in some ways. We're not celebrating anything, but we're still saying
you're meant to be growing.
We're going to be showing up and we're going to be celebrating. Yeah. Just kind of that passage of time and the growth that comes with it. Do you think that is, because, you know, you mentioned how churches, they kind of take their foot off the accelerator a little bit.
Totally.
And you can tell that they're kind of scaling things back. I think you see it in the congregation as well. People are showing up less. They're traveling over the summertime. Right. They're doing all kinds of stuff. So, like, do we have a social orientation towards the practice of ordinary time right now?
The practice of ordinary time? Yeah. Like, just going even when there's nothing big?
Yeah.
I don't know if we have a cultural thing. I think the church is struggling culturally, especially in the United States, because the people who it's still cultural for... are the minorities typically. Anybody who's a few generations in, that's the actual struggle to make it relevant to you culturally.
Right.
So I think it's extra effort.
Yeah,
for sure.
I mean, you see that there are a lot of churches that, you know, like are in areas of the world that are still predominantly, or areas of the country rather, I should say, that are still predominantly, you know, dominated by sort of white bread culture.
Sure.
And yet it's the ethnic communities that are sustaining them, right? And it's the ethnic communities that are there to show up and actually celebrate,
right?
Like,
well, it's still a sense of community. Still cultural for them.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think that is going to be, and is currently the great kind of struggle of this new generations of people who are a couple generations in, right?
That
how will we make it still culturally relevant to us, and that has to be community based.
Yeah.
So whether it's listening to some ridiculousness like this that keeps us thinking and talking and showing up, or going with friends, or checking out places when you go travel. It's another kind of cheesy Catholic thing, but it is unique to Catholic culture and families that, like, you can be on vacation somewhere and check out the local parish and see what the architecture is and what's the culture there, and go to Mass even if it's not in your language.
My parents are like church attendees every Sunday, doesn't matter where you are, and they love to travel. And there was some like there was one time we went into a church in Croatia and sat like in the third row.
Oh my gosh, I love your parents so much.
We're sitting there and you, like, for me, I go into a church in a foreign country, I sit in the furthest back that I can because I need to when people are up and down and because it's different. Like,
true.
Some churches are super
kneeling
churches
all
and
over,
some people are
stand-up even within
churches.
A diocese.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you need to make an escape, you can do it from the church.
Yeah, sorry, that was my first go-to.
Yeah.
Just a little revealing moment
so
there.
So we roll in from the side entrance of this Croatian church, like 3 minutes into Mass, it's already started, and we take one of the front rows, and I was like, oh my God, I don't understand a word, like literally, oh my God, I don't understand a word of what's going on. That was my prayer the whole time.
And God's like, I still stand your ticket, it's fine. Just
and it's like, you spend the whole time looking over my shoulder, trying to figure out, okay, when are people, what are people doing right now? And trying to follow along as best I can, you know, like I do love that you can, even in a country where you don't speak the language at all, follow along a little bit with the movements of the Mass, and you kind of
more meditative because you know the big broad strokes,
right?
You know what's happening.
Yeah. And it is, so it's, that is one of the things that's kind of cool about it, you know, and being able to explore that facet of culture.
Yeah.
You know, Mrs. Guess and I, we like to go to a foreign Mass when we're traveling from time to time, but like as a treat, not as an obligation, like my parents.
You know, I didn't come up like that, you know, with my parents. And so Mr. Dizzy is not Catholic, but he is in a Catholic family. Like, he's very open to it. So he's actually, we were going to another city and he was looking up like where are the local churches and like which one had the most interesting architecture, because he just hasn't seen that many now and wants to go.
Yeah.
And so it's, I think that is kind of a cool thing about Catholic culture, and ordinary time is a great time to tour around and check out other places.
It is. It is.
See what they're up to.
And that's, you know, like being on vacation and taking time to, you know, like thank God and be present to God is something that, you know, like I don't always have the presence of mind to do, but, you know, not to toot my own horn, I feel pretty damn good about myself when I actually do it. And I'm like, no, wait, like, this vacation is not something that I have, like, earned through my own hard work. This is, like, a gift, you know, to be able to go and do this.
Yeah, sure.
So, you know, going to church every now and then has been, you know, a time to do that. Sometimes I go with Mrs. Guest. Sometimes I go on my own and she's like, I'm sleeping in.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it's always an effort. There is the travel exemption. She couldn't make it, man.
Right.
Give her a break.
Yeah, travel exemption. A holdover from when you had to get there on a horse.
She would probably be more willing to go if there was a horse ride.
That's actually
to the church.
A valid point.
Think about that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, ordinary time, at least keep yourself growing, read something, go somewhere, talk to somebody who's got a slightly different variation. I think that all counts for, like, spiritual practices of ordinary time.
Yeah, yeah.
Be green and grow.
If there is a particular thing that helps you mark the days, cross them off the calendar, mm-hmm. and gets you through ordinary time, let us know. And also, as we said, if there's special saint days, things like that, holy days that keep you going, let us know about those. Maybe we could highlight them or talk about them a little
bit. And you can let us know all these things, like your favorite feast days and ordinary time, other stuff, like I just said. You can email us at churchdrunk@gmail.com.
Yep.
You can tweet at us at churchdrunkpod.
At churchdrunkpod.
The website got a little overhaul. Go check it out, www.churchdrunk.com. And we are on the Apple Podcast.
We are officially Apple-fied.
Yeah, it's crazy. So please follow us there. If you like us, give us a rating or a review and share it with somebody who
you think might like our sad little reviews section so that we actually have people that you know, admit to listening to us.
Yeah, just give a little click there. And really, though, if you like any of it, please do share it with a friend who you think might like it as well.
Yeah.
We'd appreciate it.
With season two coming right down the pipeline here, let us know if there are specific topics you want to be hearing about, or even, you know, have an email that shares your thoughts. We'll read it on the podcast and send it out to the world.
Some of that. Cool. So,
right on. Well, you know.
Happy ordinary time, team.
Thanks for sticking with us. Season two. Here we go.
Woo-hoo. Woo.
We will catch you next time here on Church Drunk, where you'll find us faithfully practicing all three C's: communion, Catholicism, and cocktail hour.
Here, here.